This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Northwest gets a little more time.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The flight attendants at Northwest Airlines have put off their plans to strike. They vowed to begin random walkouts starting tomorrow night, but the union says the security concerns at airports right now take precedence. This gives the airline a 10-day reprieve. But if Northwest doesn't reach a deal during that time, it could be facing the end. Jeff Tyler reports.
Northwest executives say a strike by flight attendants could push the airline into liquidation. University of Portland professor Richard Gritta agrees.
It's quite possible that if the unions decide that they're not going to play the game, that it's over.
Flight attendants won't sign off on a new contract that calls for almost $200 million in concessions. Having declared bankruptcy last September, Northwest has reached agreements concerning its financial restructuring with its other unions. Gritta says the flight attendants are the last holdouts.
When people get discouraged and depressed enough and frustrated enough, they can do things which are not necessarily in their best interest. They may decide that they'd rather see the company fail than keep their jobs and grovel for higher paychecks.
Should the company survive this standoff, Northwest could emerge from bankruptcy sometime in the first half of next year. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Wall Street looks to rebound from a downer week. The Dow was down 1.3% for the week. The Nasdaq was off about the same. Oil dropped 1% today to $73.50 a barrel, but gas prices set a new record in the past couple weeks, above $3 a gallon. Last month, Amazon started selling groceries. Then it was rumored the company might offer music downloads. Now we're hearing about video. Amy Scott asks, where does it end? Or where should it?
Some are starting to wonder if Amazon is taking its name a little too far. The ever-growing online retailer now sells 34 categories of products. You can buy anything from a leather sofa to a case of strawberry Jell-O. Analysts say that list will soon include downloadable TV shows and movies, though Amazon won't confirm that. Stock analyst Phil Remick with Guzman & Company isn't thrilled with the idea. He says media downloads aren't big money makers because most of the revenue goes to pay royalties.
I would prefer if Amazon would actually pare back in order to concentrate on higher margin items.
Items like higher priced books and electronics. Amazon would also be up against existing download services like MovieLink and Cinema Now. Maybe the biggest hurdle? Most people still prefer to watch TV and movies on the television set. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
If you think you can do better than the video games out there, by all means, give it a whirl. Later this month, Microsoft's going to offer software that allows you to make your own games for the Xbox. The company's also planning to create a YouTube kind of site for video games so people can share them with each other. This is Marketplace. It seems Foster's is no longer Australian for beer. Shipments of Foster's have fallen 30% since 2000, so its parent company is trying a new marketing strategy. Here's Steve Tripoli.
The Foster's folks are dumping TV advertising in favor of a big effort online. Tom Perko of Bevmark Consulting says there's good reason for the switch.
You can do lots of things there that you can't do by using standard television advertising. We're moving on to a new medium that really works better.
Perco says Foster's parent company is working through an identity crisis. It recently sold its entire Asian beer subsidiary, and a new business model built around wine and spirits may be emerging. But there's another reason Foster's lost market share. Australia was hot a decade ago. The star of Crocodile Dundee was telling Americans he'd throw another shrimp on the Barbie for them. But those days are gone, and some of the fascination with all things Australian went with them. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Last week, the government filed charges against three former executives at a company called Converse Technology. That's Converse with an M, nothing to do with sneakers. This is part of the investigation into backdating stock options. That scandal's getting bigger and includes some well-known companies. Newsweek's Alan Sloan is with us. Alan, in this Converse case, what's the story?
If you look at what happened here, the government says that the three guys involved made a total of $8.4 million by having had the options backdated. But they made collectively about $165 million from these options, which means the part they cheated on, or allegedly cheated on, was only 5% of what they actually made. And there's a moral in here somewhere.
And what do you think that is?
Well, you think of this. Here are guys who, if they had played it straight, again, assuming the government's charges are accurate, they would have made $156 million and they would be home free and clear. Instead, they made $165 million and they face serious prospects of losing a lot of money and in some cases possibly going to jail. It's an example of what happens when you cheat, where in the end the company did so much better, I guess, than they expected, that they didn't really have to cheat. They would have been very, very rich if they hadn't cheated at all. It's an example of how greed can really be stupid.
Well, let's broaden this out for a bit. It's not just small tech companies that nobody's ever heard of ensnared in this dragnet that the government is unfolding. We're talking about companies like Apple Computer. I mean, they're involved in this as well.
Well, with Apple and also with Microsoft, which is also involved with this, these are real companies. And it looks to me like at Microsoft, there was just a policy that somebody in personnel or somewhere did the options at the lowest price of the month that people signed up or something like that. I don't think that was malicious. In the case of Apple, I think it's something similar where there was a policy. But something like Converse, that was a whole different game.
Giving out these stock options and, I guess, backdating them was a common practice in Silicon Valley back in the heyday. Why is all this coming out now?
It's coming out by accident. Someone at a college whose name escapes me did a study, somehow figuring out statistically that this must have happened. And either, you know, they called the Wall Street Journal, the Wall Street Journal called them, and the Wall Street Journal started calling around and broke the story. That's why it's coming out now. It's a result of academe, you know, which I normally mock, of course. I sit there and laugh about business schools and laugh about academic finance. But in this case, academe is what's brought truth to the world and shows maybe people like me should have somewhat more respect for academe than we do.
Alan Sloan's the Wall Street editor for Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
I'm left-handed, and I've always kind of...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.